حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري، واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، خاتم النبيين، شفيع المذنبين، رحمة للعالمين، مولانا وسيدنا أبي القاسم محمد. ومن يهاجر في سبيل الله يجد في الارض مراغما كثيرا وسعه، ومن يخرج من بيته مهاجرا الى الله والى رسوله ثم يدركه الموت فقد وقع اجره على الله، وكان الله غفورا رحيما. صلوات على محمد وال محمد. Respected elders, brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We thank Allah once again for giving us the tawfiq to mourn Sayyidu Shuhada Abi Abdullah Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wa salam. May he accept our azadari, our tears, our matam, our noha. May he give us the tawfiq to increase our azadari year on year and learn from the lessons of Imam Hussain. Yesterday in our lecture we discussed a few important things. We discussed that for us to understand reality and to understand our religion properly, we must develop a broader vision and picture of our religion. If we behave like the elephant and always be restricted in our vision, then we cannot perceive reality as it should be perceived. If we are focused only in one direction every time, then we cannot understand the other things going on around us. Therefore, it is very important that we develop a very broad and comprehensive vision of Islam so that we understand our religion properly. Once we understand the religion properly, then we can understand the secrets of religion which Allah has given us. We looked at two yesterday. One was Maha Ramzan and one was Hajj. Both of these, if you look at them in depth with analysis and with thinking and reflection, both of these end in something called Eid. And we said that Eid means to return to Allah in a better position than I was before. Allah has sent me in this world as a sinless human being. Do I want to leave this world covered in sins? Do I want to leave this world in my namaya amal, in my list of deeds, with qaza namaz, qaza roza, guna, guna, guna? Do I want to leave the world in this state? If I do leave the world in this state, then I have committed spiritual suicide. I have gone back, I have not gone forward. I have digressed, I have not progressed. I am meeting God in a worse state than God sent me on this earth. I must meet God in a better state, because this is why God created me. He created me so that I can become closer to Him, not further away from Him. We reflected upon the two great occasions of Ramadan and Hajj. And for today's lecture, we are going to build on yesterday's ideas. And the title of today's lecture is, I must escape my comfort zone. What is a comfort zone? Whilst you are busy in your careers, in your businesses, in your jobs, while you are moving through this world in a materialistic manner, you know that we have a famous saying in business. Our bosses, our managers, our corporations are always telling us, do not be satisfied with your comfort zone. Move out of your comfort zone and try new things. Whilst we are in business and in a profession and we remain comfortable within the comfort zone, our businesses tell us that we will not make any progress. We must move forward and take risks. You will see amongst the characteristics of the millionaires, billionaires and super rich, there is one common characteristic: they are risk takers. Insan on the road to Allah must be a businessman in his religion. He must move out of his comfort zone. Imam Ali al-Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam tells us, Ad-dunya souq. Dunya is a bazaar. Dunya is a market. Rabiha fihi qawmun wa khasira akharun. Some people will come into this market of dunya and make a profit. Others will leave the market and they will have made a loss. Just as we can see in our markets around us, no matter which city or country you are in, either the traders are making a profit or they're making a loss. Imam says, Insan, you are a trader in this marketplace of God. Do you want to leave with a loss or with a profit? If you want to leave with a profit, then believe me, brothers and sisters, we must come out of our comfort zone. The verse which we read every evening in these lectures starts like this: وَمَنْ يُحَاجِرْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يَجِدْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. I'm going to explain this and then the next part of the verse with one salawat on Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلَىٰ آلِ مُحَمَّدْ.
Allah begins the verse, وَمَنْ يُحَاجِرْ, whoever migrates in the way of Allah. Please listen to every single word of the Quran. Whoever migrates in the way of Allah, fi sabilillah, yajid fil ardh, will find in the earth much safety and plentitude. He will find kasr, he will find everything is a lot, he has all the bounties he would wish for. Then the verse begins the next part, وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُحَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Whoever leaves his house as a migrator towards God. There are two differences in this part with the first part. Number one, in the first part, we did not hear the word مِنْ بَيْتِهِ. Allah does not mention in the first part about a house. In the second part, he mentions, whoever leaves his house to migrate to God. In the first part, there is no house. In the second part, Allah says, ilallah, to God. In the first part, Allah says, fi sabilillah, in the way of God. There is a massive difference between hijrat, billah, and fi sabilillah. Migrating in the way of Allah is different to migrating in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way of Allah means that you are still using some of the worldly means to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are still using some of your wealth to get to God. You say, I've earned, for example, 10,000 rupees, 5,000 will be for me, 5,000 I will give in the way of Allah. That is fi sabilillah. That is in the way of God. But when you have fillah, when you are migrating to God directly, not even fi sabilillah, you will say, I've earned 10,000. Let me see how I can use every penny of these 10,000 rupees. Oh my God. Then it doesn't matter if you use it on yourself or your family or your home or your business or anything else, but your intention will be for God. That person becomes a complete and utter servant of God. The other person will become half servant of God, part servant of God. So, in the second part of the verse, Allah tells us that I want you to be muhajir min baytik, from your house. What does house mean? Does it mean the four walls of my home that I call home? Does it mean I open my front door and I walk outside? Allah says, min baytihi, from his house. No, brothers and sisters. A house is a place of comfort, isn't it? When we go to work, when we go to our shops, when we go to our offices, we are looking at the clock, waiting for the time that we can go home and we can enter our houses. Because we like our houses. We find comfort in the house. We find luxury in the house. Everything is where we had put it. We know where everything is. And if God forbid, if any of the days we walk into our house and something is not where it's supposed to be, let's say my smartphone charger is not where it's supposed to be. My computer has somehow moved or been moved by someone. My food is not where it's supposed to be or where I should find it. My slippers and shoes and clothes are not where I expect them to be. It irritates us. We get a bit angry, don't we? We get a bit agitated. Because our nice, comfortable, luxurious house is now different. It has been disrupted. Allah says, you want to migrate to me, you have to leave your comfort zone. You have to leave your heart, which is your true home. You have to try new things. Don't let your nafs tell you, it's okay, you are fine, you are a mu'min, you pray namaz, you go to the mosque, you do adadari, you cry for Imam Hussein. MashaAllah, these are all excellent things. But it's not enough. Because from the Ahlul Bayt teachings, they say, he is not one of our Shias whose 2 days are the same. Every day must be a new step towards God. Every day must be a new experience towards God. Every day I must have a new idea about my Lord. Tell me, brothers and sisters, is there any end of Allah? Can anyone show me where Allah finishes? He cannot finish. He is endless, eternal, fathomless, ununderstandable, unfathomable. He cannot be ever achieved. Therefore, our journey can never end towards God. If God is everlasting, the journey to God is everlasting. Surely this is logical. Even brothers and sisters, once we die from this world, in barzakh, we are still journeying towards God. In the grave, we are still journeying towards God. In the Yom Qiyamah, in Roz Qiyamah, we are still journeying towards God. Otherwise, why go through punishments? Why go through rewards? Why are there 7 levels of heaven? Why must I try always to reach higher and higher? Because we are all journeying in an everlasting journey towards Allah. Therefore, for me to be able to commit spiritual jihad and journey towards God and fight my way towards God, I must understand that the journey is limitless and I must come out of my comfort zone, my safe area of my heart. So those truths which I had taken before may not be 100% true. They may be more than this. I must explore, I must investigate, I must think. I must do more towards my Lord. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
the question arises. And from tonight, by the way, one more point for tonight, we will be starting some practical tips. Up until now, it has all been theoretical. From tonight, I'm going to give you practical tips. The practical tips I'm going to call weapons, because we are on a jihad, a spiritual jihad. Therefore, every practical tip will be a weapon for you, inshallah. Now, the question arises, okay, we want to leave the comfort zone. How do we leave our comfort zone? Anyone has ever moved house in their life? Moved from one place to another? It's very difficult, isn't it? It's very stressful. It's tiring. It's tiresome. It's cumbersome. We don't like it. We find it a bit annoying to move our possessions from one house to another house. But I will show you a way to leave your comfort zone, and you will love every minute of it. Because this is something very special. I will teach you how to leave your comfort zone in a story. The story is about one of the kings of the olden days. This king was very rich. He had a love for art. He had a massive palace, as kings do. In one of the big halls of his palace, the hall was completely long with two walls on either side. The king decides that he wants to redecorate this whole hall. He has one long wall here and the other long wall down here, exactly parallel to one another. He is a lover of art. So he asks his people, he says, I want to draw something amazing on these walls. Give me some ideas. His ministers tell him, oh king, we don't have any ideas, but there are two groups of people that we know who are amazing artists and decorators. One group are the Chinese. They are famous for their artistry. The other group are the Europeans, the Romans of that time. They are famous for their artistry. Why don't you have some fun? Make a competition between the Chinese and the Romans. Ask them to decorate your wall for you. The king liked this idea. He calls the Chinese. He calls the Romans. He gathers them in front of him. He gives them the challenge. He says, Chinese, you will have this wall. Romans, you will have this wall. You have 3 months. Within 3 months, I want you to decorate your own sides. After 3 months, I will come and inspect. And I will reward the one who has done the better design on their wall. So the Chinese and Romans are now in a competition to design the king's walls. They put the scaffolding, they put a big sheet like a curtain on the scaffolding so they can't see each other's designs, and they begin to order materials. The Chinese begin to order colors and paints and brushes and cloths and all of these different things to color their wall and to paint their wall. The Romans begin to order cloths and polish and cleaning materials. They both work day and night. We can hear all the noises that they are doing something. They are painting, they are plastering, they are polishing, they are cleaning, they are coloring. After 3 months, the king comes and says, are you ready? And the both groups are ready. They have finished. They have met the deadline. So the king says, let me first see the wall of the Chinese. The Chinese take their curtain down, they remove the scaffolding, and the king looks, and it is an amazing, beautiful, artistic work, full of color, full of design, full of beauty. The king is amazed. He loves this wall. He's amazed at what the Chinese have done. Then he tells the Romans, that can you show me your side? The Romans take down their curtain and they take down the scaffolding. The king cannot believe it. He sees exactly the same design on the Roman wall. He says, how is this possible? As he moves towards the Roman wall, the wall kind of changes and shows a different angle of the picture. He moves this way, it shows a different angle of the picture. Then he realizes what has happened. The Chinese have used paint and color and brushes and drawings on their side. The Romans did not draw anything. They took cloths and polish and made their wall into a mirror. So what happens is, their wall is simply reflecting exactly what is on that wall. Now you know, when you decorate a house, if you want to add depth and beauty to a room, and you want to make it look bigger, you add a mirror. It's a simple trick. So what the Romans did was that they made their wall into a shining mirror. And the king was so amazed, he gave the gift, he gave the in-arm to the Romans. He said, this is amazing, the thought process. Now, what can we take from this lesson? Basically, the heart of insan is like this. The beauty of Allah, Allah's grace, Allah's blessings, Allah's guidance, Allah's mercy is everywhere around us. We fail to see it because the wall of our heart is not polished. We have dirty hearts. We have filthied our hearts with sins. Our guna have gathered upon our hearts. And they have made our hearts dirty and dusty. What it requires is for insan to clean his heart. Then the beauty of Allah will naturally shine in the heart. Let's have one salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. A clean and polished heart, brothers and sisters, can help to shine the beauty of Allah. Then you will not be minus human being, you will be plus human being, because Allah is Rahim, you will become merciful. Allah is Kareem and kind, you will become kind and compassionate. Allah is fair and just, you will become just and have justice. Allah helps people cover their faults, you will help people cover their faults. Allah is Ghafoor, you will become forgiving. Allah is generous, you will become generous. Because Allah created us sinless. He created us already with a shining heart. We have made it dirty with our sins. Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wa salam, says so beautifully in Du'a-e Arafah. If you want to know God to the extent that humans can know Him, then read this Du'a. Imam says, Mata ghibza, when were you lost that I required a proof to find you? You know, we say, we need to prove Allah. We have to prove Allah's existence. Imam says, when were you hidden that I need a proof to find you? You are absolutely apparent, but I cannot see you because of my heart, my eyes. Now, a question arises that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why should we clean our hearts to understand God? Why isn't God obvious to us already? Why do I need to clean my heart to find God, to understand God, and to become a better person? Allah Himself says, Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. If, O Allah, you are so Nurani, your Nur is so much, why can't I understand you just like that? I want to give you two answers to this question. Number one, in the Holy Quran, we read in Surah 3, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ وَتُورِ السِّنِينَ وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ لَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِأَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. Allah says, لقد خلقنا الإنسان we have created إنسان في أحسن تقويم in the best way but then ثم رددناه أسفل السافلين we have made him the lowest of the low when Allah says we have made him the lowest of the low it is when we enter into this world as we enter into this world our soul is shielded with what we call in English veils or as we understand in our language parda curtains veils these veils come upon us while we are in this world we cannot see angels we used to see angels in the previous world before we came here we cannot see barzakh we used to see barzakh we cannot see heaven and hell we used to see heaven and hell we cannot see arshullah we used to see the arsh of god so we are surrounded by veils and we will talk about veils in the next few lectures how we can understand veils and what they are and how we can get rid of them that's the first reason the second reason can we look at the sun can a human being stand on earth and look at the sun directly I think the limit is 8 minutes isn't it before your retina burns no human being can look at the sun for more than 8 minutes before becoming blind is it the sun's fault or is it my eyes deficiency Is the sun deficient? Can I blame the sun and I say, oh sun, you are too bright. Become less bright. No, it is my own eye that is not strong enough to stare at the sun. Allah says, I am there, I am all around. You are deficient that you cannot see me. I am everywhere. I am more obvious than the most obvious thing. I am the brightest light around. But you fail to see me because your heart is not prepared. Therefore, when we want to leave our comfort zone, we require a clean and polished heart. You will see that when there is a beam of light, the beam of light is difficult to see. It's difficult to look at. It's difficult to understand. As soon as you put a prism, a triangular shape like a crystal, in front of the beam, the beam immediately splits into many different colors and it becomes beautiful. When the rain comes and then the sun comes, we see in the sky a rainbow. Because the light is channeled through something else, it becomes beautiful. Brothers and sisters, do you want to become beautiful in front of Allah? Do you want Allah's light to hit your heart and then become many different beautiful lights? Do you want the light of Allah to shine from you? Do you want the light of Allah to enter your heart and then to guide other people? This is the power of polishing the heart, cleaning the heart, and exiting the comfort zone. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Now, linking this idea with the movement of Imam Hussein. When Imam leaves Medina, he makes a speech. He makes it clear to everybody, why is he leaving Medina? For Imam to leave Medina was not easy. It's never easy to leave your comfort place, your family home, the place where you have grown up. But this was Hussein leaving his comfort zone to go towards Allah. He makes a speech. He says, O people, I am going towards Makkah. I am leaving Medina. I have been asked for bay'at. I have refused to give bay'at. But I do not leave as a rebel or to cause mischief. I leave because لِطَلَبِ الْإِصْلَاحِ For reformation. For Islah. To improve things. What was the objective of Imam Hussein? To improve things. Brothers and sisters, what is our objective when we come for majalis, when we sit for azar, when we listen to noha, when we do the matam? What is our objective? Brothers and sisters, please bear with me. I have two suggestions that we must do in Muharram, in every majlis, in every madam, in every noha, in every marsiyah. The first is to mourn. Aza, giriya, buka, madam, sinazani, whatever you want to call it. This is the first objective of Muharram, to mourn for Imam Hussein. Because what the mourning does, number one, it gives us an immediate attachment to the Ahlul Bayt. Number two, it softens our heart. When you cry, it is the best time for dua. You remember our elders used to tell us that when your first tear comes out, remember me in your prayers. That is the power of Azadari. When the tears come out, the heart is made very soft. Allah listens to that dua. So the first objective of Azhar is to mourn. The other objective of Azhar is to reform, change, improve, Islah, Sudhara. We must improve, we must change, we must be better in every single step. Can I hope to become closer to Imam Hussein if I have a different objective to Imam Hussein? Imam Hussein says, I have come for reform. I say, oh Imam, I have come for my selfishness. I have come to Majlis because I want my du'as answered. I have come to Majlis because it will increase my risk. Yes, it will increase my risk. It will forgive my sins. But that is not the only reason I come. I come for all of that and I come for reform. To change myself, to change my community, to change my society. With a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Our Holy Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a very powerful dua which he recites on the first of Muharram. Obviously, in the Holy Prophet's time, Karbala had not taken place. The Ahlul Bayt knew about it. The Holy Prophet had already mourned for Imam Hussein. But he recites this dua on the first of Muharram. He says, Allahumma anta ilahul qadeem. O my Lord, you are the eternal God. Wa hadhihi sanatun jadida. This is the new year. This is the beginning of the new year. فَأَسْأَلُكَ الْعِزْمَةِ I ask you for protection. مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ From shaitan. So the first weapon that I'm going to give you as a practical point in our journey towards God is seek protection from shaitan. What we call isti'aza. To say أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ However, it is not as simple as that. We don't have time to go into the depth of isti'aza. There is a book which is available. It is this one. It's called Isti'aza by Shaheed Muhammad Dastaghayb Shirazi. It is available in the bookshops. It is available even in the bookshop next door. And you can buy this. He goes into 5 levels of isti'aza. I would definitely recommend that you look into this in more depth. The first weapon that I've given you is to seek refuge from shaitan. But the Prophet does not end here. He continues, وَالْقُوَّةَ عَلَىٰ هَذِهِ النَّفْسِ الْأَمَّارَةِ Allahu Akbar. Shaitan is not my own enemy. He is not my only enemy. I have one more enemy according to the Holy Prophet. My enemy is myself. Rasulullah says, I ask you for refuge from shaitan and strength upon my nafs-e ammara. My nafs which orders me, ammara means to order. My nafs which orders me towards evil. That is a very big enemy of insan, his own self. What does Mawla Ali say in Dua Humail? Zalamtu nafsi. I have done zulm on myself. When I sin, when I do anything wrong, when I have a bad thought, or I have a bad action, it is a zulm on the self. Zalamtu nafsi, is a zulm to myself. Now, we have a very interesting story with which we will finish off today's lecture. The story is from one of the students of Shaykh Ansari. With one salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The story is that the student of Shaykh Ansari, he is studying with this great alim. Shaykh Ansari was a master. May Allah have mercy upon him. Elevate his status, inshallah. He was a master. He was so powerful. He was so knowledgeable. This is the dream of his student. The student has a dream in which he sees and he meets Shaytan. And he sees Shaytan in a room. And in this room, there are all these different ropes. Some are big ropes, some are thin ropes, some are strong ropes, some are weak ropes. Shaytan is running around the room, pulling one, pulling the other, tightening one, tightening another. He's running around doing this, doing this. He's fiddling with all the ropes. The student asks, "Oh Shaytan, what are you doing? What are these ropes?" Shaytan says, "These ropes are my tricks. This is how I control Bani Adam, insan, human beings. Sometimes I need to pull them. Sometimes I need to push them. Sometimes I need to tighten them. Sometimes I need to loosen them. But I have my control upon them." The student says, "Do you have a rope for my teacher, Shaykh Ansari?" Shaytan says, "Yes, look at this big rope, this big strong rope. Your teacher is so powerful, but I try to tempt him and I try to misguide him, but he does not accept my misguidance. He does not get tempted by me. To control him, I use this very big rope, but still I am not successful." So the student asks what we would all ask, isn't it? "Where is my rope? Show me my rope. Is it one of the big ones?" Shaitan says, "Brother, you don't need a rope. You have misguided yourself. I don't need a rope for you. Your nafs has misguided your own self. I got rid of you a long time ago. I don't need to waste my time on you. Your nafs is doing the job for me." Therefore, the second weapon in our list of weapons on the path of spiritual jihad is seek protection from the nafs. Like the Holy Prophet says in this dua, "O Allah, I seek strength upon my nafs." Because Shaytan is a creature, he's a jinn. He is not all powerful, he is not omnipotent, he is not everywhere, he has a limited amount of time and power. He can come and he can go, but your nafs can never go. It is always there, it is a part of each and every one of us. Therefore, the conclusion of today's lecture is, I must escape my comfort zone by cleaning my heart. And there are two weapons in this. One is to seek refuge from Shaytan, and the other is to seek refuge from my own nafs. With one salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Mazlum Hussein leaves Medina with a lot of pain. He bids farewell to the grave of his mother. He bids farewell to the grave of Rasulullah. He bids farewell to the grave of his brother Imam Hassan. He travels towards Mecca. When Hussein is in Mecca, his intention is to stay in Mecca until the time of Hajj. He is in Mecca for 4 months. The word has spread that the son of Ali has left Medina and has refuse to give bay'at to Yazid, the letters start to come to Imam Hussein. And Imam Hussein receives the invitations from the people of Kufa. He reads the letters one by one by one. They are coming, they are inviting Hussein. They say, "Oh Abu Abdullah, we regret our actions with your father. Now we will not do the same to you. Come and lead us. We need you, we want you. Come and protect us. We need you to be our leader." Imam Hussein then receives information that the forces of Yazid are so shameless that they have come to Makkah in the disguise of Hajis. They wear ihram, but under the ihram they have daggers and knives. Their plan is that when we see Hussein, we will kill him, even if it is inside Masjidul Haram. Imam Hussein is forced to change his intention from Hajj to Umrah, and he leaves Makkah and he travels towards Kufa. Before going to Kufa, Imam Hussein has a beloved cousin and a friend whom we know as Muslim Ibn Aqil. Janabi Muslim and Imam Hussein were very close. They were childhood friends. Imam Hussein has so much trust in Janabi Muslim. Imam Hussein tells Janabi Muslim, "Go for me as my ambassador. Go to Kufa. Tell me the situation in Kufa." By that time, Imam Hussein has left Makkah. Muslim reaches Kufa. In Kufa, Muslim first of all sees that there are thousands and thousands of followers ready for Imam Hussein. Muslim first sends a message to Imam Hussein and tells him, "Mawla, Kufa is ready. Come to Kufa. You have many followers." But oh Muslim, what was to happen to you in the space of just a few days? When Muslim had thousands of people behind him, at one time Muslim is leading prayers. When he looks back, half of them have gone. After the second prayer, he looks back. Muslim is all alone. Muslim walks the streets of Kufa. Muslim is tired. Muslim is thirsty. Muslim is hungry. The forces of the governor surround Muslim. He is made shaheed. When Imam Hussein is on his way towards Kufa, he meets the people from Kufa. He says, Tell me the news of my brother Muslim." They say, "Abu Abdullah, if you don't ask us, it is better." He says, "Why? What has happened?" They say, "Muslim has become shaheed. The people of Kufa are not with you. We advise you don't go to Kufa." Imam Hussein begins to lament and mourn for his brother Muslim. But before he does this, he says to Bibi Zainab, he says, "Oh Zainab, do me a favor. Call the young daughter of Muslim. Let her come to me." He takes the daughter of Muslim. He puts her on his lap. He strokes her hair. He kisses her cheek. She says, "Oh uncle, I know you love me, but why so much love at this time? Oh Imam Hussein, we salute you. We say salam to you. You were there for the daughter of Muslim, but who was there for your Sakina on the day of Ashura, on Sham-e-Ghariba? Where was Sakina given love? Where was Sakina given her love? She was not given love. Her hearing was pulled for the ears, and her face was left by the enemy, and her clothes were set on fire, and she turns to the enemy, and she says, 'Can you tell me the way to Najaf al-Ashraf?' And they say, 'Oh daughter, why do you ask for Najaf?' She says, 'My grandfather Ali is buried there. I want to go and complain to him how the Muslims have treated me after my father has passed away.'" Ajrukum ala Allah. Imam Hussein begins his journey towards Kufa. In the middle of the road, he meets the forces of Hur. Hur was that person, brothers and sisters, that we will commemorate properly in a couple of days. At this moment, Hur is on the side of Yazid, and Hur is given a message from the Khalifa. He is told, "Oh Hur, you must station yourself in such a place that if you see Hussein, we order you to treat him with harshness. We order you to treat him with cruelty. We want you to turn him away. Do not let Hussein go to Kufa. Instead, turn him into a place that has no water, that has no plants, that has no trees, that has no food. Let him go into the desert." When Janaya bin Hur meets Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and Imam Hussein tells him, "Oh Hur, we have no fight with you. We are in peace." Hur says, "I am sorry, I need you to divert your path into towards the desert of Karbala." As Imam Hussein looks at Hur, Imam Hussein says, "Hur, look at our caravan, look at our qafila. It is not just me. I have my ladies with me. I have the daughter of Ali with me. I have the sons with me. I have the Ahlul Bayt with me. I have children with me. Hur, do you expect us to go into the desert?" Hur says, "This is my order. I must send you into the desert." As Imam Hussein enters into the area known as Karbala, he begins to ask. He says, "What is this place?" In the history, we read about Imam Ali. On the way to Siffin, Imam Ali enters Karbala. Imam Ali stepped foot in Karbala before Imam Hussein. And when Imam Ali enters into Karbala, he begins to cry. And Ibn Abbas narrates that "I saw Amir al-Mu'mineen crying, and he cried and cried. And we asked him, 'Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, why do you cry?' He said, 'Sabran ya Aba Abdillah, have patience, my son Hussein.'" So we asked him, "Mawla, who is Aba Abdillah? Who are you saying sabr to?" He said to Ibn Abbas, he said that, "I remember one day when I came to the Holy Prophet. The Holy Prophet had in his hand some soil, and the Holy Prophet was crying. And I asked him, 'Ya Rasulallah, what is this soil? Why are you crying?' And the Holy Prophet told me, 'Oh Ali, Jibreel has just come to me, and he gave me this khak, this soil.' And he said, 'This is the khak of Nainawa.' And I said, 'What is this Nainawa?' And he said, 'This is the place where your grandson will be killed, and he will be made to be killed in thirst and hunger.'" Ajurkum Allah, Imam Hussein enters into Karbala. Imam Hussein enters into Karbala. The Karbala was a desert. However, around Karbala, there were a few villages. Some of them were Qasiriya, Shufiya, and other villages. He comes into Karbala. He asks someone. He says, "Who are the people of this area?" He is told, "The people of this area are known as Bani Asad tribe." He calls the Bani Asad tribe. He asks them, "What is this place?" They say, "Ya Aba Abdullah, this place is known as Shatul Furat." He says, "Does it have another name?" They say, "Yes, Ya Aba Abdullah. It is also known as Qasiriya." He says, "Does it have another name?" They say, "Yes, Ya Aba Abdullah. It is known as Nainawa." He said, "No, call one of your elders. I want to ask them if they know of another name." The elder of Bani Asad comes. Imam Hussein says, "Does this place have any other name?" He says, "Ya Rasulullah, it is known as Karbin wa Balain, the place of grief and the place of calamity." Imam Hussein comes down from the horse. He says, "This is where we will stay. This is where our blood will be spilled. This is where our children will be killed." He calls Bani Asad. He says, "I wish to purchase this land from you." They say, "Ya Aba Abdullah, we will give it to you. There is no need to even give us any payment." Imam Hussein says, "No, I will not take it free. I will pay you for it. But I have one condition and one favor to ask you." They say, "Yes, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, anything for you." He says, "On the 10th of Muharram, we will all be made shaheed. We will all be killed. Our blood will be spilled. I want a favor from you. As we are killed, after everyone leaves, can you do
Israel. Can you put the sand of Karbala on our bodies and bury our bodies in the sand? And then he calls the children of Bani Hassan. He says, oh children of Bani Hassan, your elders may be scared, they may be frightened, but I ask you that if your elders do not bury us, then you should bury us. As you play in the sand, spare some time, lift up a handful of dust, throw it onto our bodies. Our bodies should not remain uncovered. Ya Aba Abdullah, our salam to you on that day. On that day, all the bodies were buried, all the bodies were taken away, except for one body. When all the bodies are killed, when everyone is shaheed, Omar Saad makes the announcement. He said, I would like the horses to run upon the bodies and to trample the bodies of the shuhada. Someone comes and says, not Janabi Abbas, not Abbas. He is related to me from his mother's side. Abbas's body is taken away. Someone from Ali Akbar's mother's side comes. Ali Akbar's body is taken away. Someone from Qasim's mother's side comes. Qasim is taken away. Khor is taken away. Habib ibn Mazahir is taken away. All the shuhada taken away. There remains one body of the son of Karbala. That is the son of Abu Musa. That is the son of Fatima al-Zahra. No one was there to pick up the body of the slain. No one was there to bury the slain.
Allah لعنت الله القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا اي جمل ان يظلمون بارئها او الله accept our azadari. Forgive us our sins. Bless us in this month of Muharram. Bari Allah, give us the wasila of Imam Hussein. Give us the ziyarat of Imam Hussein. Help our brothers and sisters in the lands of Karbala. Help our brothers and sisters in Sham and Iraq. Oh Allah, grant us the intercession of Imam Hussein. Oh Allah, grant us unity in our community. Oh Allah, grant us shafaat of the Ahlul Bayt. Oh Allah, these tears that we shed for your beloved Hussein, give them a place in the Ruman of Janabi Fatima. Oh Allah, grant us the best in this life and the hereafter. Oh Allah, the Mu'mineen, especially one brother, has a lot of mushkilat and difficulty. Make hal and asan his mushkilat. Oh Allah, bless us always. Oh Allah, give us the chadar and the saya and the protection of Janabi Zahra. Let us remember all our marhumin with Al-Fatiha.